swarming with big-time people, including the buddy who joins us right now. He's standing here. He's not on the phone.
I had to get a good angle here, guys.
Well, there's practice. No angle because we're blocked. Like,
well, no, that's my point. That's why I was standing. Now I'll sit because they're breaking.
Oh. Nice.
Andrew Siciliano, Browns radio play-by-play. Hello, sir. How are
you? Hello. How are we doing?
We are well. Thank you very much. We've already chatted extensively today, but that was not on the show. But now you're on the show, okay. so nice to see you in
person. It's great to see you both in person as well. Hopefully, you know, I'm not going to get a bad cell signal here, and we're going to lose you somewhere
as you drive through a tunnel.
As I often drive through tunnels, or
are we going to take the 101 up to Ventura, and then
I don't live anywhere near the 101.
No,
but
to Sepulveda, and then take the 10, and then let's go drive up to.
It is a good bit. Yes,
it is a great bit.
It's a great bit. The nasalness of that SNL bit, I never understood.
You don't get it.
No, because, I mean...
Isn't it Valley talk?
Nobody actually... It is a little bit of... Now we're going deep cut here. No one knows what we're talking about, right?
They do. Yes, they do.
It is... I think they're trying to go Valley, but, like, people in the Valley don't...
Really talk
there's, about. Like, the sing-songiness, which is, like, the old 80s Valley girl thing. But, like, I don't... The
nasalness. Where everything ends on the upside?
Yeah.
Like
I
that?
I don't get it. Either way, guys, are you not excited about what we just saw? That they went live. They were tackling to the ground there. And
we saw four guys.
Okay, we saw four guys in gray shirts.
Browns just did by, and we're polling the audience here. We're pretty certain it's the first time Kevin Stefanski has ever gone truly live in training camp practice.
Tell us what you just saw, because we didn't see it.
Live tackling.
Yeah.
Oh. Day two in pads. Live tackling.
Nice.
Which Kevin that has never been done before.
Kevin hinted about
under earlier. Under Kevin.
He hinted about that earlier in camp.
Well, I thought he said they were going to play the thud. They were trying to play the thud.
Well, they were playing the thud on the first day in camp.
The first
day in pads 2 days ago.
Right.
The use of the word thud
you
has
don't
now
take
become
him,
a
don't
football.
Take him to the ground.
You don't
exactly.
take him to the ground. You're
exactly.
allowed to pop. It's got to be clean.
You hit him, you hold him up.
First day in pads 2 days ago, rookie on rookie, Carson Schwessinger. Got Dylan Sampson with a big thud in the hole. Deuce Staley pointed out yesterday that Dylan's got to get his pads down. And that hit took Dylan to the ground. He popped right back up. He was fine, but it got the entire defensive sideline going nuts. Celebrating Carson Schwessinger, who has made an impression early. He's going to be out there probably three downs, and he's going to play a lot, and Browns fans are going to learn to love him. Same for Dylan Sampson.
But
this was the first time they were actually – Tackling. Like, we're talking real life.
Like football.
Schwessinger,
thank goodness, looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Because assuming Jordan Hicks was going to start or play significant amounts of snaps, you're now down two starters with MJ Emerson's injury yesterday. You're Jim Schwartz. How do you approach that?
Well, you could really argue three with JOK as well.
So that's true.
We knew that one for months, but really three. Next man up. I'm really bullish on Schwessinger. I think everybody here is. It is a lot for a rookie to wear a green dot. He's going to be on the podium, at least scheduled to be on the podium here shortly after practice. Grant Delpit has already said, I put my hand up and said, I'm willing to wear the green dot. He told Schwartz that he would do it. Don't know what they're going to do. We're a week now from a game. And I can't imagine Grant Delpit plays in that first preseason game in Carolina. But Grant's up in the box a lot. That's a role that I think he could easily handle. Last year, when it came to rookies around the league, you had Junior Colson with the Chargers, who only started one game. I don't think he wore the green dot. Derwin James had it for that Week 18 game, but he's in a system that he played in college under Jesse Minter, so it would be the same thing. And then you had Edgerrin Cooper in Green Bay. For rookies to wear the green dot and be the quarterback of the defense, we're concerned about the quarterback of the offense, to be the quarterback of the defense is a lot. But I think he could handle it. My concern is MJ's injury yesterday, which is just heartbreaking. It is your area of the most depth, but it's a kick in the gut.
You living in Los Angeles, Schwessinger playing at UCLA, got a much better look at his career coming to the Browns than anybody here. How does a guy go from walk-on at UCLA to number one pick in the second round of the draft?
It's a great question. It means his last year was that good.
And it was really primarily his last year, right?
Yeah. He was more of a special teams player. He got on the field the first couple of years on defense. But last year was his first full year truly as a starter. And he played amazing football. And also, when you sit down and talk to him, and you guys, you haven't interviewed him yet.
Not yet.
You'll get it when you talk to him. He's exceedingly bright. And he and Jason Tarver connected. I can tell you just from talking to other coaches. I didn't go to UCLA Pro Day, but I got a lot of texts from other coaches and other teams that came into town. That was the guy they wanted to see, but he didn't work out, so they had to go talk to him separately. He was still coming back from some injury, but there were plenty of teams that came in for UCLA Pro Day and made sure to have a second visit with Carson Schwesinger. Yeah. So he's a good player.
Are you counting reps for the quarterbacks or no?
Yes and no. I'm more concerned with like who's working with which team. Like today we saw Shador working with the second team offense against the first team defense. That to me is important. Right, he was getting reps at the end of
Is that not really a first team rep then? If you're going up against the first team,
yes, absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you got Myles Garrett coming around the edge. Yes, absolutely. It is a first team rep. Shador got some good reps there at the end. Here's my thought on Shador. I think, and this goes for Dylan Gabriel as well, you're going to see a lot of these rookie quarterbacks in the preseason, and both of them are going to make a lot of plays where, if you are in one of their corners, you're going to stand up and go, see, that's the guy, okay? Both of them are gamers, and both of them will light it up. I mean, they will make plays in the preseason. But at the same time, you have to ask, are either going to truly be ready for week one against the Bengals and Trey Hendrickson? You're going to start a veteran week one. People just have to understand that. The first 6 weeks are brutal. You're not throwing a rookie into that.
With that in mind, and with Kenny Pickett unknown at this point,
sure,
the severity of his hamstring injury, how has Joe Flacco looked to you?
I thought today he looked good. Look, he's always looked good. He doesn't need all the reps, right? You know, he could hang on the driving range, and when you put him out there, he's going to be just fine. He had a great sideline ball there to DeAndre Carter where you're like, yeah, I mean, he's got it. David Carr was out here a couple of days ago, my old friend from NFL Network, former first overall pick, and he was like, look at that guy's arm.
That's awesome.
Just warm it up. Like, look at that guy's arm. He still has all of that. He doesn't need the reps, and he says he doesn't need the reps. I think deep down inside he wants the reps. Of course he does. But they'll be fine with him. The question is, like, how long is that window? And you hope they get a couple of wins. You're like, let's keep him in.
You were here yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Did you sit in on the Haslam press conference?
I was there. Yeah.
Okay. I don't understand how that story turned into...
Which story?
Jimmy Haslam saying... It made it sound like, if you read some stories last night, if you just took the quote out of the story, people made it sound like that, like Haslam didn't want Shador. He wanted to make sure
that
everybody...
Absolutely.
But everybody...
That's content aggregation...
Right?
To the
nonsense.
Like,
degree.
Totally blown out of
nonsense.
Proportion.
Yeah. He was asked, because remember, this is the first time that he had spoken since before the draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had not spoken since before the draft. And the question was, hey, it's out there. There's this public perception, at least in some corners, that you were behind drafting Shador. Is that true? I think it was a fair question.
Sure.
Like, put it to bed. And he said no. He said, now, if you had told me when I went home Friday night that we were going to draft him,
He said,
they spoke about it in the morning. They spoke about it in the afternoon when the fall kept going.
Yep.
And that we all agreed. Hey, why not? But it was Andrew's call. I think it was a fair question to ask, and I don't think there was anything he said yesterday that was incendiary or that in any way leads to some narrative.
Yeah, I just thought it was insane. I was reading this stuff yesterday, and it was just like the narrative.
What was that headline?
It was just, Haslam didn't make the pick. And
That's what he said. He said, I didn't
make
the pick.
Yeah, but it was the grabber. I think the headline read was, it made it sound like Haslam didn't want.
Yeah,
which was
clickbait.
Just absurd.
No, he absolutely did not say, I did not want the pick. Absolutely did not say that.
I look at Dylan Gabriel's resume, and I think, man, if this guy was 6'3", he's a first-round pick.
Absolutely.
How has the height been for him out here from what you've seen? Obviously, he's not a real tall guy, maybe 5'10".
He's not going to change. And as someone who is also short, I'm not as short as Dylan. Like, you are what you are. You're used to it. You've been this height your entire life. I don't play football, granted. He had a pass early on in this live session that Shelby Harris got a hand on. You're going to see balls knocked down. The one thing I would say is he played in the Big 12 at Oklahoma. Was Oklahoma the SEC at that point? I don't even remember. I mean, I don't. What is it with these conferences?
He played at Oklahoma.
He played at Oklahoma, and then he played in the new Big Ten at Oregon. It's not as if he played against 5'9 D linemen. All right, he played against guys that went in the first, second, third round, day one and day two picks, with size on the other side of the line. His batted balls were not a problem in college. Might they be here? I don't know. It's so hard to get a read on it,
you know, Andrew,
in practice.
He, to me, is the least hyped of these quarterbacks.
Sure.
And I get it from a hype standpoint, but I just keep thinking, man, I want to see this kid on the field because I want to – I mean, the numbers in college jump off the
stat
page.
No one has thrown more touchdown passes in the history of organized FBS D1, call it what you may, college football than
right.
Gabriel. He played 6 years, to be fair.
Yep.
It's a different game.
Five and change because
Five
he got
change.
Injured in that
right.
last year at UCF.
So, yeah, but he has been a highly, highly successful quarterback. But Joe Flacco just sat down over there to do another interview. He's not as tall as Joe. He's not. Let's just.
I don't think that's going to change.
That is not.
That won't be changing.
Going to change.
What do you think of the wide receivers? And can Deontay Johnson have an impact?
I think he can. I think, and this is
had a good day yesterday.
He had a good day yesterday. Had a nice catch on the sideline. I'll say this about Deontay Johnson, I want to preface this by saying I'm not taking shots at him. He has, by all accounts, been on it since he got here. All right. Nothing bad to say about him from all accounts and everyone that I've spoken to. So that's positive, and that's a trend in the right direction, obviously. I think you have to step back and realistically say, can we rely on him? I don't think that's an unfair question to ask, considering everything that happened last year.
So far, the answer is yes.
So far, the answer is yes.
Okay.
And that's a positive thing, and you could only look at this stage in my life, I think you guys are the same way. I can only judge people on my interactions with them.
Right.
We've all met people that you hear things about, and then you go, you know what? But my interactions have all been positive, and this is what I'm going to judge this person.
You should have
heard people don't like that, though.
No, people don't like that.
People don't like when you say that.
It doesn't mean...
When you tell them the truth based on your own perception.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't mean...
Like, you should hear what I say about Phelps and we're not.
Right, exactly. Like the stuff he was texting me yesterday.
Oh, man.
So it doesn't mean that you can't... You have to be fully aware of the past. Like when you get into a relationship, you're like, I heard stuff from the ex, and then you're like, okay. So I'm aware of it, but I can only judge on what I see, right? But you have to be aware of it.
There was a time in Pittsburgh where he was playing like crazy and highly thought of. That kind of went south in Pittsburgh, which leads to Carolina, where he actually didn't put up bad numbers.
No, he's well. That's the whole thing.
You know, that's that
you're the leading receiver. We're good. Get out of here.
Yeah, okay? That was weird.
And then you get to Baltimore, and he wouldn't go in the game. He openly talked about it. He wouldn't go in the game. And Baltimore was so mad, basically, that we're not going to cut you and give you the benefit of what you just did. Like, you wanted to get out of jail. We're not going to do that.
Mm.
We're going to squat on your rights and suspend you and try to give it right back to you, so to speak. Then he goes to Houston, and he's with a playoff team.
Yeah.
He dresses for a playoff game, and then is upset in the locker room after the game because he didn't get the ball enough. They won the game, by the way.
Right.
And they're like, we're good.
It all sounds bad.
It's last year, as he said, last year, and now Deontay, when he was on the podium in mandatory minicamp, said it was only 1 year. But last year, yeah. Don't judge me on just 1 year, basically.
Which is more than fair, and boy, do the Browns need him to be Deontay Johnson of Pittsburgh days.
If he could be that guy, that is a massive boost because, you know Jerry's clearly the number one. You are hoping to get that five-game window that you saw from Sed from last year. You hope to get that guy. I would even go back to with Flacco. I mean, Cedric had his moments, too, with Joe Flacco. In 23 down the stretch, it's there. You need the consistency and the availability from Cedric Tillman.
I'm just trying to think, is anybody else jumped off the page for you that you've seen here that no one's talking about? Especially, that's where I was kind of going with wide receivers in the beginning.
Sure.
But anybody else jump off the page that no one's kind of talking about? I like the way this guy's playing.
A couple of things. I would say with the wide receivers, everyone's talking about Luke Floria.
Yeah.
It's a fun local story. Mentor Kent State. I think he's going to do really well in the preseason. He's just got that I'm going to do well in the preseason vibe to him. And I think
get signed to a practice squad.
Yeah, I think so.
I was interested to watch him. They were using him a lot out here. And I was wow.
He's getting good reps with the twos, even with the ones. Gage Lardavan is the other wide receiver you should get to know. 84. Was actually at Miami of Ohio and then finished at South Carolina. He got in the end zone here, broke some tackles on the sideline in that live period. I was standing in the corner there with Bernie when he got into the end zone there. Weaved
that was
through
a ding.
Traffic.
That was a ding, by the way.
Right. Yeah, sorry. And
it was the same thing with
what?
It was same with
name
David dropping? Carr.
Yeah, name
earlier.
Drops a ding.
Oh. It's just, you know. David Carr earlier, too.
Oh, I totally forgot about that.
We let that slide.
Yeah. It's Bernie Kosar, golden god.
I know, mean, but you're, when you're saying you're standing next to him.
I'm standing with Bernie.
Yeah, okay. You know, I was hanging
I'm
with
standing
Jeff
with my buddy David Carr.
I am honored and flattered to stand with Bernie. As a kid who used to go to Lakeland and has his autograph on a like a Rite Aid training camp program
awesome.
From the late 80s.
A Band-Aid that you were wearing at the time he signed it. It was awesome.
I tell you, the offense went nuts. Like Joel Bitonio and everyone running down the sideline to congratulate Gage Lardavan. He will also make some plays in the preseason. Jamari Thrash has also looked good. He had a strong catch in traffic here today. I would say defensively, keep an eye on Chris Edmonds, 41, who was here last year, made some plays in the preseason, stuck around all year, actually played a little bit, got in some games. He's got size. Donovan McMillan, undrafted rookie safety from Pitt. Keep an eye on him
and
in the preseason
might be
as well.
A position of need.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mason Graham looks the part, guys. And offensively, you haven't heard a lot about Harold Fannin because everyone's talking about the quarterbacks. Harold Fannin's the real deal.
I want to go back to wide receiver for 1 second. It's this. Man, my fingers are crossed on everybody except Jerry Jeudy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough way to go.
It is, and I do think they have to keep an eye on the veteran free agent market, and they especially have to keep an eye on the veteran corner market after MJ's injury yesterday. There just aren't. Look, this is the part of camp where you don't find veteran corners and wide receivers on the market. My dad is always like, well, maybe they can go find a guy. I'm like, that most of the guys you want to go find are not sitting on the couch waiting for the phone to ring.
Yeah.
Amari Cooper. I don't know that that's going to happen. I think it's more likely that if there is a veteran addition at either of those rooms or in any room, it's later in camp when guys become roster or cap casualties on other teams, or you're like, you know what? If they don't want to pay that guy, I'm good. Like, we'll take him. We'll pick him back up.
Andrew Siciliano,
yes,
thank
I'm
you, buddy.
You
we
guys
appreciate
got a real
it. Malik Collins is sitting here saying,
come on down.
Get out of my seat.
No, please. He could have it.